Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for your word right now. Thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us, revealing truth to us today. Lord, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would help me to communicate this word in the way that you've put it in my heart today. And I thank you again for every person that is here, for every person that's joining us on YouTube, on our live stream, for every person that will hear this at some later time. Father, I thank you and praise you that your word, Father, will be planted as good seed into our hearts today, and that it will produce fruit and it will accomplish what you purpose. Father, we have ultimate confidence in the power of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So go with me this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse number 9. Luke 19 and verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business till I come.'" Verse, you might wonder, why are you putting those two passages together? You're talking about the end of one story and then sharing the beginning of another parable, but they do go together, and I want to point something out to you. So obviously verse 9 and 10 is the conclusion of the story of Zacchaeus. Right? Remember Zacchaeus? Anybody ever sing that song about Zacchaeus when you were growing up that you learned in Sunday school? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Anybody remember that song? So Zacchaeus, this is the conclusion of the story of Zacchaeus, where Jesus says in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he's also a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." But then notice how verse 11 starts out. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write these words. "Now, as they heard these things." So as the disciples and the people heard Jesus making this comment about Zacchaeus, that salvation has come to his house, and that Jesus, again, reiterating his mission, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. While they've got that fresh in their hearing, they've just heard that, then he begins to say, to tell them about the parable that he goes into here. And then he says that the master in this parable, the master tells his servants, "Do business until I come again." So what are we saying here? Well, again, Jesus reaffirms his mission. He's come to seek and save the lost. And then that mission, his mission, of course, became, after his resurrection and after he ascended back to heaven, his mission became our mission. Amen. Amen? To seek and to save the lost. And then he makes this statement. He says, "Do business until I come." So what business is he talking about? He's talking about the business of seeking and saving the lost. There's the connection. Do you see it now? Are we connected here? All right. So praise God. So seeking and saving the lost, that's kingdom business. And the title of the message today is Doing Kingdom Business in the Last Days. Last week we talked about living confidently in the last days, and it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, in the fear and the hysteria and the panic and everything that's going on. But we're to stay focused. We're to keep our eyes on the Lord and on His Word, and we're to stay focused. And we've got a job to do. We've got a mission to accomplish. We've got a purpose for being here. Amen? And it's not to get into panic. It's not to hunker down and get in survival mode, but it's to do kingdom business. Amen. Which is seeking and saving the lost. Amen. The King James Version of, of this verse here in verse 13, Luke 9:13, if you go to the King James, it says, he called his 10 servants and he said to them, occupy till I come. The New King James is what we read earlier, which says, do business until I come. The King James, it says, occupy until I come. See, when and this is an interesting word, because when one kingdom has conquered another kingdom, the victor, the winning kingdom, the winning army, goes into enemy territory and becomes a what? An occupation army, right? All right. They go in to occupy that kingdom. For what purpose? Well, to put down any rebellion that may rise up from the defeated kingdom. All right. The opposing army, the opposing kingdom has been defeated, and the occupying army is coming in, and they're just enforcing that victory. They don't have to win the victory all over again. It's already been won, but they're there just to enforce the victory. Amen? Praise God. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus defeated Satan and his kingdom. In the book of Colossians, it says he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show over them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. He stripped Satan of his authority and his power. Amen? Praise God. And he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go, therefore. So he sent us in. Jesus has sent us in as the occupation army. We don't have to defeat the devil. Jesus already defeated him. Amen. What we're to do is we're to take the authority that he's given us through his word and in his name, and we're to enforce the victory that he's already won. We're to put down any rebellion that the devil would try to get. We're to say, no, you don't. You've already been defeated. You have no right to do that. Amen. We're the occupying army. Now, we are in enemy territory, just like that occupation army is living in that enemy territory. So we're living in enemy territory while we're still on the earth, but we're the occupying army. And we've been authorized. Amen. Praise God. And so we're to use our authority. Praise God. And the primary use of our authority, of course, again, now, make the connection here. He said, do business, occupy, till I come. And again, he said this parable right after he had addressed Zacchaeus and right after he had reiterated his mission. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. So the primary use of our authority in Christ is not for our personal comfort and blessing, although God wants us to use it that way. Our primary use of our authority is to accomplish the mission to seek and to save the lost. Amen? Praise God. And so, as we draw near, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, again, we're not to hunker down, we're not to hide, we're not to go into survival mode, but we're to understand our authority, we're to use our authority, we're to spread the good news of the kingdom of God, and we're to bring the lost out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Amen. Amen. That's our message. Praise God. The folks that are in darkness, we have the privilege, we have the opportunity through the gospel, through the word of God, through our personal witness, through the use of our authority in Christ to bring them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And we're to do that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And we're to use what God has given us. Every one of us, every believer, has been authorized as part of this occupation. You say, well, I don't want to be a part of that army stuff. Too late. You're already in. If you're saved, you're in. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're part of this occupation army. Every believer, every one of us has the authority through the name of Jesus to use in prayer and in exercising authority over the devil and over his forces. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But also, as we see this parable unfold that Jesus tells, each one of us has been given gifts represented here in this parable by a measure of money called a mina. The King James uses pounds, I guess because, you know, that's the measure of money in England, and that's the King James version originated there. But the New King James uses the term mina. So let's go back to verse 13 and pick this parable up again. In verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business for how long? Till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Did you ever notice the world does not want Christ to reign over them? That's why we're seeing the rebellion that we see today. But it's nothing new. The psalmist talked about that. In the second psalm, he talks about an attitude and a spirit of rebellion. I didn't give this to Kim for the notes on the screen, but let me just read this in Psalm 2 so I don't misquote it. It talks about the nations raging. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And so they're basically saying, we don't want the authority of God over our lives. We don't want God's standards. We don't want God's laws. We don't want God's principles. Have we not seen that in our culture and in our society and seen it happen at an accelerated rate, you know, over the last few years and the last few decades? Certainly we have. But that's nothing new. Jesus said there in this parable, the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. All right. And so, but that doesn't stop us from our purpose of doing kingdom business. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, so what happens is this in this parable, the master gives 10 of his servants, each one a mina, a measure of money. And he says, I'm leaving. I'm going on a journey, going to a far country. Do business until I come again. And so he comes back in verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. So these servants, which represents us, amen, they took heed to their master's admonition to do business, and they went out and did that. They used the mina that they had been given, that measure of money they had been given, they took it and they used it. And they brought increase. They profited. And as a result, they were commended and they were rewarded by their master, weren't they? He said, well done. He commended them. Well done, faithful servant. And you've been faithful over this little that I gave you. Now here, and he gave them a reward. Be over 10 cities. Be over 5 cities. But then there was another servant in verse 20 that we read about. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. So instead of going out and doing what the master said, do business, what did he do? He said, I put it away. He said, I put it in a handkerchief, and now I'm bringing it back to you. And he thought, well, you know, it's not as good as maybe. At least he won't be mad at me. At least I'm giving him back what he gave me. And why did he do that? It says, for I feared you, verse 21, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked, called him wicked, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? So what's the problem here? Again, going back to what we were talking about last Sunday, Jesus said, don't get into fear when considering the last days and the coming of the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. See to it that you're not troubled. What happened with this servant? He got into fear, didn't he? He said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that something bad is going to happen. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up the investment. I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. I know what I'll do. I'll wrap it up in a handkerchief. I'll hide it. And then when the master returns, at least I'll give that back to him. At least he'll have that back. No, that was rather than using what his master had given him, what did he do? He got into survival mode. He said, well, we're just going to survive here. See, God doesn't want us living in just in survival mode. Amen. He's got better for us in the last days. Amen. Again, what we talked about last week, a lot of folks that are advertising stuff or talking about stuff about getting us into survival mode, they've got a kit they want to sell you. Now, again, it's not wrong to have some stuff prepared for emergencies and things like that. I'm not saying that. But check out the motivation, amen? All right. And he says, you know that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I didn't sow. Why didn't you put it on in the bank, that at least I could have gotten the interest? And so he doesn't do any of that. He's motivated by fear. He gets into survival mode. He just hangs on to it. And there's no profit and there's no increase. And so the problem is this. He's got a distorted image of the master. He's afraid to step out and use what he's been given. He's afraid that his master's gonna get real mad at him, and he's afraid he's gonna make a mistake. And see, we have to have a proper image of our Heavenly Father. Amen. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not gonna. Now, anybody here never made a mistake? If you're here, then anybody, you've never made a mistake. Okay, I got several hands to go up. You've never made a mistake. Never? Okay, all right. I'm going to let you come up and finish this message then. Because you're certainly more qualified than I, because I've made a lot of mistakes. And we all have, haven't we? But God, no matter our mistakes, God wants us to use what He's given us. He wants us to use the gifts that He's put into us. He wants us to do kingdom business and use those gifts, use those resources that He's given us to build His kingdom and to accomplish that mission to seek and save the lost. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, to who? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're included in that. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. That's a perfect picture of this parable here of the master who is going away to a far country to receive the kingdom and then come back. Jesus, after his resurrection, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts. To who? To each one of us. And to every believer. To every child of God. Amen? Praise God. To each one of us, it says, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now let's go to the book of Romans. And he's talking about this same theme here in Romans 12 and verse 6. It says we have what? Different gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we have different gifts. We each have gifts. And the thing that stood out to me as I read this is whatever your gift is, use it. If it's prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's giving, then do it. If it's showing mercy, then do it. In other words, use your gift. Amen. The most important thing is to use the gift, not to call attention to you, it's not to call attention to you, but it's to bless and to help people, and it's to do kingdom business until the Lord comes back. And again, what is that business? To seek and save the lost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. So Peter's talking about he's addressing the last days. He's addressing the return of the Lord. He says, the end of all things is at hand. What should we be doing, Peter? What do we need to do? Knowing that the end is coming, what do we need to do? Run around like chickens with our heads cut off? Run around like Chicken Little, the sky's falling? What are we to do? The first thing that he tells us is this: therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Glory to God. I believe the Cooper Green prayer group's going to be going on until Jesus comes back. Amen. Praise God. And we ought to be praying till Jesus comes back. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. So we ought to be praying. God's Word translation says this: the end of everything is near. Therefore, practice self-control and keep your minds clear so that you can pray. Don't let your mind get all filled with anxiety, get all filled with panic, get all filled with fear. Like the old boy said, a scared prayer ain't no account. Amen. No, it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of confidence in God. Now, when you're scared, you can pray and should pray, but a scared prayer won't accomplish anything. No, keep your mind clear so that you can pray. Amen. Even as we see the events of the end times unfolding around us, keep your minds clear so that you can pray. Amen. We need to be praying in the last days. Amen. Praise God. In verse 8, let's continue on in what he says here in this passage. Verse 8, he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So again, go back to that verse 8 there. He says, above all things. Above all. In other words, this is number one. This is priority. The end of all things is at hand. When you see the last days unfolding, what are we to do? Well, we're to be praying. And number two, we're to be walking in love. Above all. He says, above all, have fervent love for one another. The Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. We're going to need that. I said, we're going to need that as we move into the last days. Amen. We've got a job to do. We've got what is kingdom business? Seeking and saving the lost. How many of you know that's going to be messy? Amen. The lost are not going to come to us in a nice little package saying, now I'm a full-grown Christian. Amen. And none of us are. Amen. We all need to extend and must extend grace and mercy to each other. Amen. He says, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Amen. It forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Notice, remember what Jesus said a mark would be of the last days. We'll come back to 1 Peter in a moment, but go with me to Matthew 24 for just a second. And look at what he says in Matthew 24 and verse 10. He says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Yep. That's a mark. The whole Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the last days. He's talking about the unfolding of events before he returns. And he says, here's what's going to be happening. He says, many people will be offended. My goodness, we live in the offense generation, don't we? I mean, you know, you can't hardly breathe without somebody saying, that offends me. I need to get to my safe space. No, there's such a spirit of offense, and we shouldn't let it be in the church, though. Amen. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then he says in verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, well, we're seeing that, aren't we? The love of many will grow cold. That's why Peter had to admonish us. That's why Peter had to encourage us and say, above all things, have fervent love. Fervent means white hot. That's the opposite of our love growing cold. Have fervent, have intense, unfailing love for one another. Praise God. So here's the thing. Kingdom business, which is what we're to be about. Jesus said, do kingdom business. Do business till I come again. Kingdom business must be conducted by kingdom love. Amen. We have to conduct kingdom. If we're going to be conducting kingdom business, that's got to be motivated by the love of God. That's got to be fueled by the love of God. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Peter. So he talks about in verse 7, he said, the end of all things is at hand. Number one, pray. Be clear, mind. Keep your mind clear so that you can pray. And then above all things, have intense love, have unfailing love for one another, have fervent love for one another. And then he goes back into this that we've been talking about already in verse 10. He says, as each one has received a gift, as each one has received a gift, minister it. Minister that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold means many-sided or many-faceted, like a diamond. Like a diamond has many facets to it. And the grace of God has many facets. The grace that God has given you might be different than the grace that He's given me, but when we put it all together, it becomes a beautiful diamond. Amen. Praise God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So again, he comes back to the vital importance, like we started out with in the parable. And Clint, you can come on back up if you would and begin to play. But as he started out in the parable in Luke 19 about the minas, about the master giving those minas to his servants, those minas for us today represent the gifts that God has given to us. And as we see the day of the Lord approaching, we need to be using those gifts. We just need to hold steady, folks. We just need to continue to follow the Lord. We need to continue to follow His Word. And we need to continue to use the gifts, be faithful to use the gifts that He's given us. Jesus told another parable about the last days, about a master that gave one of his servants, authority to feed the other side. That parable is personal to me because I believe it's talking about pastors and shepherds. And he says that servant. He said that the master gave him the authority and the job to make sure that the other servants got fed. And he said, blessed is that servant when his master comes back and finds him doing what he told him to do, feeding, making sure the other servants got fed. He says, when he comes back, he's going to reward and commend and bless that servant. He says, but he said, if that servant begins to think, oh, it's the master's delayed his coming, it's going to be a long time before he comes back, and he begins to eat and drink and get drunk and beat the servants. He said the master's going to come back in a day when he won't be looking for it, and things won't go well for that servant. God wants us all, whatever your gift is, whatever your grace is. Say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, seek the Lord. Yeah. You know, sometimes, and they can be useful, you know, you Anybody ever done one of those spiritual gift surveys? You know, and that can be, I'm not totally discounting those, but in my opinion, it's more important just to develop a relationship with the Lord and let Him speak to you on the inside. And honestly, it's not that hard. God's not going to call you and grace you to do something that you just have no desire to do and that you don't like doing. What He's put in you as a desire, what He's put in you as, man, that excites me. This is what I love doing. This is where I feel fulfilled. That's probably the gift He's put in you. Keep using it. Keep serving with it. And don't think that you've got to the end of the development. Oh, well, yeah, I've just been doing this and it's not. No, it's a gift from God. When Christ ascended, He gave gifts. He gave gifts. It's a deposit of God's grace on the inside of you. Amen. Value it and develop it and use it fully. Do business with it. Do kingdom business with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so notice this again in verse 11. He said, so whatever your gift is, if it's speaking, then speak as the oracles of God. If it's ministering, that means practical service. Do it with the ability that God's... There's a God ability. So you say, well, it's just practical serving. It's just helping out with the food pantry. It's a gift from God. Amen. Whatever it may be, it's just, you know, working with kids. It's a gift from God. Whatever it may be, it's a gift. And do it. Then there's an ability from God that comes with that. He says, do it with the ability which God supplies. And here's the goal. Here's the end result. That in all things, you put verse 11 back up there, Mike, if you would. Rest of the verse. There we go. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Everything so that God may be glorified. Jesus is coming back, folks. He's coming back. Our Master is coming back. He left and He gave us a commission and He said, occupy till I come. Do business till I come again. Praise God. He's coming. He's coming back and we're going to give an account to Him for how we've used our gifts. Praise God. So we're to occupy till He comes back. We're to use our spiritual authority in Christ to put down every rebellion of the enemy. Let's do that. Let's walk in our authority in Christ. Let's occupy till He comes again. You know, the occupation army, wouldn't it be sad, you know, if they sent a general in to see the status of the occupying army and found out, where are they? Oh, they're all in that cave over there hiding out. And all kinds of chaos going on in that country. Wait a minute, you're supposed to be here enforcing the victory. Amen. That's what we're to be doing. Amen. We're to occupy till He comes. We're to do business. We're to do kingdom business. We're to use the gifts that He's given us. We're to be clear-minded so that we can pray. And above everything, above all things, what are we to do? Love. Love. Praise God. You know, and I like teaching that side of end times as well. And there's a place for that of talking about the events and talking about the signs and all that. But a lot of what the Bible gives us is just pretty simple right here. Use your gift. Walk in love. Pray. Amen. Pretty simple, right? Simple, but yet profound. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to give an account to the Lord for our lives. Amen. And again, don't let that put you, no. Just use what He's given you. And you'll hear Him say, well done. Good and faithful. I want to hear Him say, well done. I don't want Him to have to just say, well, you're done. I want Him to be able to say, well done. Don't you? Amen. Amen. And you can. And you will. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. One final word here. Hebrews 10, 23, God's Word. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. Amen. Is it important to do that? Is it important to hold firmly to our declarations of faith and to speak God's Word? The one who made the promise is faithful. Verse 24, we must also consider how to encourage each other, to show love, and to do good things. And verse 25, we should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other, and even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. Again, he's talking about all this in context with the coming of the Lord. Praise God. We're to hold fast to our declaration of faith, keep speaking God's Word, knowing that God is faithful, and encourage each other to stir. What? He says that we may stir up or encourage others to show love and do good things. The New King James and King James says that we may stir up. What do you stir up in other people? It's a good question, Dad. What does my presence stir up? You know, if I'm stirring up strife and contention, then I need to examine my life. Okay, what am I walking in here? What am I doing? If my presence and my words and my interaction is stirring up strife, I should be stirring up love. I should be encouraging others. And we can all, this is a word to all of us. Encourage each other to show love and to do good things and not stop gathering together, but encourage each other. And even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the receptiveness of your people today. Father, I thank you. I believe that your word has been seed sown into good ground. And Father, I believe that it will produce fruit in the name of Jesus. I believe, Father, that it will produce a good harvest. Amen. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you and we praise you that we, Lord, that we can be a part of your kingdom and that we can, Lord, not just as spectators, not just as, oh, wow, isn't that what wonderful what God did, but we can participate in your kingdom. And I thank you that you've called us to do kingdom business until you come again. And you've actually even given grace gifts to each one of us. Father, help us to discover those gifts and help us to walk in those gifts and faithfully use those gifts right up till you come again. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. While we're in an attitude of prayer right now with heads bowed, with eyes closed for just another moment, I want to give an invitation. Is there anybody in here you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to do some kingdom business right now. Because Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. He's seeking the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not a Christian, if you've never given your heart to Him, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seeking you. And I want to address this to those on the live stream as well. He's seeking you. He wants you. He loves you. He wants you to accept His free offer of salvation. Is there anybody here in the auditorium you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I've never given my heart to the Lord. I sense that He's seeking me today. I sense that He's drawing me today. Anyone in the auditorium here, Pastor, pray for me. I've never made Jesus my Lord. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. He's seeking you. Praise God. One other invitation this morning, you're here and you'd say, I've been saved. I know that I'm a Christian, but I'm away from God. I'm like the prodigal son. I've strayed away. And I recognize today it's better in Father's house. It's better. I want to come home. I want to come back. I want to get back in fellowship with God. I'm away from Him today, but I want to get back in fellowship. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I want to come back home to God. I want to get back in fellowship. Anyone in the auditorium here? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray with the, I didn't see any hands here in the auditorium, but If you're joining us on YouTube, either on our live stream or you're watching this at some point later, I want to pray with you right now and give you an opportunity to get things right with the Lord. You can do that right now, right where you're at, right where you're watching. I want to pray with you. And those in the auditorium, I'm going to ask you to pray along with me as well. You won't mind reaffirming your faith, I know. And so if you're joining us here on YouTube and you know that if I'm talking to you, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I need to get right with God. I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. Or maybe you've been saved and you're away from Him and you want to come home. You can come home. That's the good news. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. He loves you. He's ready to forgive. All you have to do is turn your heart toward Him. And I want to lead you in a prayer where you can do that right now. Just pray this after Him. Put your hand over your heart if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that He was raised from the dead. And in that death and resurrection, He paid for my sins so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be washed clean, and so that I could be free. I receive that gift today. I receive that offer today. I recognize that I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. And I say yes to you today. Come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Receive me now. I receive you into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, get in touch with us here at City on the Hill Church. We'd love to follow up with you and encourage you. And go to our website, cityonthehillchurch.us, and you can do that and reach us, contact us that way. Praise God. Let's sing a little bit of Soon and Very Soon. Stand up with me and let's sing. You know this song? Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and